Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Publish and Insights Magazine and Broadcast, where experts and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And I am really excited today because I have with me Michael Houlihan. Michael is the managing partner of Great Thinks. It's a California-based wine and product consulting business specializing in brand creation, development, and marketing concepts. He has a proven entrepreneurial track record as founder, president, and CEO of Barefoot Sellers, awarded Market Watch's hot brand for 2 years running. He also developed proprietary software that tracks product placement and replacement at retail and offered it to other wineries. Michael and his team took Barefoot from an obscure novelty label to a mega brand and successfully capitalized it in its brand equity through its acquisition by E&J Gallo in 2005. So he has a tremendous story to tell. And Michael, welcome. I'm so thrilled to have you here with us.
It's nice to be here, Vicki. How are you today?
I am great. Michael, I would just love for you to share with us how you came to Great Thinks and how the making of Barefoot Sellers as a mega brand happened.
Well, you know, we all have friends, and sometimes our friends get in trouble, and as friends, we feel obligated to help them out. And we had a friend who was a grape grower in the Sonoma County wine country north of San Francisco in California, and he hadn't been paid by a major winery for his grapes for 3 years, and then they declared a Chapter 11 limited bankruptcy, so it looked like he wasn't going to get paid. And so he came to us and said, you know, can you guys help me? And we were business consultants. Bonnie, my partner, was what I call back office, and I was what I call front office. And so we met with him and chatted it up a while and found out that he had been selling grapes to a winery that is no longer there. It used to be called Chateau Souverain. It's actually now, then it became called Souverain Winery. Then it got bought by Coppola, Francis Ford Coppola, and today it's Coppola Winery. But back in those days, they had declared bankruptcy, and it didn't look like my friend was going to get paid. So I offered to go over there and talk to them and see what kind of an arrangement I could make. And when I got there, the board of directors were the secured creditors, and all they wanted to do was sell off the equipment and the vineyards and what have you to pay off the bills that they were owed. And so the meeting wasn't going very well, as you can imagine, and I happened to look through the window, and I saw a couple of things. I looked down one window, and I saw this thing that looked like a big chrome locomotive in a handball court. And I said, you know, excuse me, guys, you know, I wanted to change the tone of the meeting, which was going south, so I thought that this would be comic relief. I said, what's with the chrome locomotive in the handball court? And they said, oh, that's not a chrome locomotive. That's a bottling line, and it's not a handball court. It's a clean room. It's where we do the bottling. And, of course, I didn't know much about wine at the time other than that I liked it. I didn't know much about the industry. And so they told me that their bottling line, you know, worked and that it hadn't operated in months because they were in this bankruptcy situation and they weren't selling much bottled wine. And then I looked out the other window, and I saw a row of tanks, and I said, well, what's in those tanks? And they said, oh, well, that's Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc wine in bulk. And ironically, it turned out to be the same wine that my friend had sold them in grape form for the past 3 years. And so then it hit me like a chrome locomotive. I just said, wait a minute. I said, what about this idea? What if you guys, instead of paying me the money you owe my client, what if you gave us bottling services and wine in the bottles and paid us off that way? And so they said, yes, that's a great idea, because it was no cash out of their pocket and it was assets that they had and they could improve their cash position. So they basically gave us wine and bottling services in lieu of cash. And so now we had all this wine and all these bottling services. We didn't have a label. We didn't know anything about distribution. We didn't have a clue, but we were, as we like to say, we were 1 inch closer to the money, but we weren't a foot closer. And so that is how Barefoot Cellars began.
Oh, my goodness. That's an amazing story. Now, I know, Michael, you have had a very unique way about marketing Barefoot Cellars. Can you tell us a little bit about what the inspiration was for this really unique concept?
Well, you know, Bonnie and I are like so many people. We grew up in liberal times, and we're liberal-minded people. We're conservation-minded. We're civil rights-minded. We're egalitarian people to start with. So, you know, here we are with all these goods and services in lieu of funds, which we now have to convert into bottled wine with the marketing program and everything else. And we started out in our laundry room, which was about 7 feet by 12 feet in a rented farmhouse, actually on Fred McMurray's ranch, of all people, in Sonoma County on West Side Road. You know, we have no money, and we realized that we're going to have to advertise this brand. We're going to have to create a brand, first of all. That's a whole other story. But, you know, we're going to have to advertise it. We have to get the word out. And so we thought, you know, this is an opportunity for us to do something that we want to do anyway, which is to support these various different groups and support them by giving what we have a lot of away. And what we had a lot of was wine. So we donated wine to their fundraisers and to their dinner parties and to their events, and got involved in their various different goals and helped them take their message to the people through our brand in the stores. So we would have signs and little talkers on our bottlenecks that talked about how they were doing good for the planet and asked people to donate to their cause. And so that started off the whole idea of Worthy Cause Marketing. And we call it Worthy Causes because these were causes that were worthy of us, our attention. And, you know, we were barefoot, and so barefoot, you wouldn't want to step on a piece of glass on the beach, so barefoot supports clean beaches. And, you know, you are in favor of conservation. You don't want to see Lake Tahoe turn green, so you support Keep Lake Tahoe Blue. And when you see a barefoot on the ground, you don't know if it's a male or a female. You don't know if it's black or white. You don't know if it's a Catholic or a Protestant. You don't know if it's gay or straight. In fact, all you know is that it's the impression that a human being makes on the ground. So we took that and took it to life and said, you know, maybe we should support Keep Lake Tahoe Blue. And by the way, maybe we should support the gay and lesbian community as well. And it became a kind of a guiding light for us, the actual barefoot symbol, as to what groups we supported. So that's what we mean by worthy cause marketing. And that's how we got started. And it worked so well, we never went over to advertising. We did that forever.
Mm, that's incredible. And until you were acquired and you know, by Gallo in 2005, that's just amazing. And I know from what you've said, they've continued that whole philosophy and that way of marketing in a very successful manner. And now barefoot, I'm in Mexico and it's all over the shelves down here. It's the one wine that we can get down here. So it's really wonderful. So in addition to all of this fantastic history and everything you've done with the winery and the things you're doing now with Great Thinks and this unique concept, you're also writing a book.
That's right. For years, people who worked for us and people who worked with us said, you know, you guys really have to write a book. You really have to take some of these slogans you use and some of these different ideas that you have about how to market products and write them in a book. And so, you know, they bugged us for years, and it was wonderful that we were able to sell our business to a family-owned corporation like E&J Gallo that was committed to keeping the Barefoot spirit alive. And they actually hired us for a year to show them and their staff what was the Barefoot spirit, what made it tick. And, of course, it was entrepreneurialism and entrepreneurial out-of-the-box thinking, as well as worthy cause marketing. And, of course, they still use that to this day, much to their credit, and they've done a fabulous job. So the book is written about, you know, starting in the laundry room and ending up in the boardroom, and, you know, it's the adventures of Bonnie and Michael. It's a business adventure story, and so you're kind of pulling for these people because you know they're going to make it, but they go through some tremendous challenges, and they get beat on quite a bit. So I like to say we got our butts kicked for the first 10 years, and for the second 10 years, we knew what we were doing. But the book is being written to encourage so many young people today who are unemployed or who are underemployed and who are thinking about saying hello to their garage or their laundry room and starting their own business, and to inspire them with a real-life story that's a real case study. And these are average people that, you know, put their heads together and figured out how to do it. And they used their lifestyle cornerstones and their own values and some basic business principles and put the business together and made it work on a very, very thin shoestring. We like to say at Barefoot we started off with less than bootstrap.
Oh, that's great. So tell me, Michael, since this is your first book, what was the experience of writing this book?
Oh, boy. Well, it was a real eye-opener because, you know, first of all, it's emotional. You know, you have to go through experiences that were very strong, emotional experiences that were very strong over a period of 20 years, two decades, which is a greater part of your active life. And, you know, write it down, and you have to pare it down and just choose one or two incidents that kind of sum up the business lesson. And, you know, originally we were going to write the book like so many business books are written, which is in list form. You know, here's the three things you have to do to be a success. Here's the five things you should never do. And by chapter two, you're sound asleep because you're listed out. So we decided to write it in a different format. And so after we'd already started writing the book, we decided to scrap it and change to a different format. And we changed to the format which we call business adventure story, which is something that because we're now teaching and lecturing and consulting with people, they always say, give me an example. Give me something, you know, that I can set my teeth into. Give me a case study. Tell me a story. So the whole book is a series of stories, and each story, of course, has a moral, and you can pull the moral out and make the conclusion for yourself instead of having it beat into your head in a list form. So we found that it was much more exciting, and we hope that it will keep people, you know, awake and excited throughout the whole book. The people that we've given it to pre-read it, found it very interesting and were surprised by the unique way that business concepts are being portrayed. One of our favorite movies, of course, is Social Network, because it is a business adventure story. You know what's going to happen to Mark Zuckerberg, but you didn't realize all the challenges and hoops that he had to jump and go through to get there. And so that's what actually communicated the business lessons. But writing a book like that, it's an emotional experience, and it's also, there's a feedback loop where you're constantly bouncing it off your friends and total strangers, and you're getting input about, this would be more interesting, you know, this would be a better way to do it. And meanwhile, we're reading other people's books and seeing what we like and don't like about them. So we hope people will enjoy it. We hope that it will put a smile on your face. Bonnie calls it laugh while you learn.
I love that. I really love that. So what did you learn from writing your book, Michael?
Oh, my. Well, we learned that we had an awful lot to offer in several areas. First of all, we learned that we know quite a bit about the fundamentals, philosophical fundamentals, the highest level of decision-making that you have to aspire to make the right kinds of decisions in business. For instance, are you willing to take a smaller slice of a larger pie? If you say yes, well, then you'll take care of your people and you'll include everybody around you in your success. If your answer is no, then you're going to try to get 100% of a cupcake instead of, a large slice of a wedding cake. So we learned that we had those kinds of principles to offer. And, I mean, there's hundreds of those principles. And so we also, because of the book, we learned that we really needed to sit down and start writing down the list form principles for people. And we're giving those away for free right now on our website, which is thebarefootwinefounders.com. And our other website, which is a brand building website, and it has to do with things that we learned about how to build brands. And you can find that at thebrandauthority.net. So what else did we learn? We learned to be humble. We learned to hire experts. I write the blog posts, and Bonnie edits them, thank God, so that they're readable and digestible, hopefully. But on the book, we didn't make any bones about it. We don't have a ghostwriter. We actually put his name on the cover. We got our friend, who is the wine writer for the Sacramento Bee. He feels the same way about wine that we do, that it should be fun and accessible. And he helped us write the book. So he writes the book about us instead of us telling what we know in the book. So we learned quite a bit in writing the book. Mostly we learned that you start out in one direction and you wind up at a different goal or a different destination than you thought, but it's a better destination.
Oh, that's really lovely, really lovely. Well, I know you're contributing so much of your wisdom to other entrepreneurs now in the consulting you're doing, and certainly everyone is going to be able to take advantage of your wisdom in your book. But do you have a mentor that has really helped you?
Oh, yes. When we first started selling Barefoot, of course, people wouldn't buy it because it was, 1986, and wine was serious business, and if it didn't have a French label or, terms that aspired to our French heritage in winemaking, then it wasn't going to sell. And here we were selling a wine with a foot on it, and it was also non-vintage, so we gave them a lot of reasons to say no. So we found out early and often that we had to go to the markets ourselves and make the sales ourselves for our distributors. So I would drive up to Seattle and spend a week up there hitting all the stores in Seattle and making the pitch and selling Barefoot up there personally. And then I'd go the other direction down to San Diego or Santa Barbara, and then I'd drive over to Denver. Well, heck, that's a lot of driving time. So I would sit in the car for hours on end, and I thought, this is a great opportunity for me to listen to. We had tapes at the time. We didn't have podcasts. We didn't even have CDs yet. So we listened to tapes, and the tapes that we listened to that I found the most beneficial were the tapes by Brian Tracy, especially on his time management and sales and closing and just anything that Brian Tracy ever wrote, everybody should grab and listen to. He's one of the great thought leaders of our time, and he predates Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, and everybody else. But his wisdom was definitely our mentor.
Mm-hmm. That's so wonderful. And really, the advice that he gives and the wisdom he shares is really timeless from the standpoint of how it applies to business, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Just things like how you handle mistakes. We're always going to make mistakes. The question is, do you make mistakes right? And the right way to make a mistake is not to hide it, not to get it corrected as fast as possible, and not to wipe your hands off and put them behind your back and say, it's all taken care of, boss. No, it's to bring it out on the table and really look at it and say, how did this happen? And then write a policy or procedure. Every mistake really needs to be codified in at least 3, but probably 10 different documents. I don't care whether it's a checklist, a sign-off sheet, a job description, a clause in a contract, a sign, you name it. Something has to be written down so that it doesn't happen again. And that's how your business improves, one mistake at a time.
Advice. Thank you so much for sharing that, Michael. And, you know, you are truly a master at messaging in such a unique way. I was wondering, what makes a message truly magical for you?
What I like is, I'm like most people. I like a story. I like to hear about something that really happened. I, like so many people, have gone through all the academic training, and I've read hundreds of books written by people who are professors or speakers and whatnot. But what does it for me is when I'm listening to somebody who actually did it in the real world, and they came across real world issues and problems, I'm interested in how they got around those problems. I'm interested in how they overcame those challenges. What makes it magical for me is to bring it down to earth.
Yeah, conveying that simple, pure, authentic message of what it's all about. That's so beautiful. So how is getting your message out there, you know, and you've done it again in such a unique way, how has getting your message out there changed your life and possibly the lives of others around you?
Well, it's interesting. I have clients. First of all, the people who work for Barefoot, when I like to say we crossed the finish line, which means that we achieved our goal, which was to monetize our brand value. When those people graduated, if you will, from Barefoot, they all went on and became very, very successful. And they tell me all the time that they really appreciate the mentoring that they got at Barefoot and the fact that they were given a chance and that we believed in them enough to spend a lot of extra time with them. You know, no matter what kind of silly or stupid questions they asked, we would spend the time to explain it to them. So that's one benefit that's very gratifying to us. The other benefit is that we're working with young people right now who are starting businesses, and when I say young people, I'm talking about people in their 20s and 30s, and some of these people were unemployed and had no choice, and some of these people were underemployed, and they quit their jobs, and they went into becoming entrepreneurs, and so we worked as consultants with these people and became part of their board of advisors. And so as business goes, you know, there's a problem a week and a crisis a month. And so they would run this stuff by us, and we would give them the principles that were necessary to untangle themselves from all kinds of things, whether it was legal entanglements or financial entanglements, and to really concentrate on what they're doing, how to delegate all of the things that you have to do, how to discover what you personally are good at and hire someone else to do the other part, even if it means firing yourself from CEO. If you're an engineer, be an engineer. It's okay. You still own the company. Let somebody else run it. And the rewarding thing for us was that these companies are all successful now. And one company that we helped get off the ground is now the go-to business for outbound outsourced call centers in the wine industry. So we're very, very happy to have that kind of success. It's amazing. You spend 20 years beating your head against the wall, and then, you know, you finally, somebody hands you a check, and you think, gee, that was a grunt. You know, I wonder what I got out of this beside the check. You got a lot out of it. What you got is you got experience that other people can use, and we're out there today giving back to those people today, and it's interesting to see that for want of what we know, they really would have had a much harder time. We saved them the pain that it took us 20 years to find out about.
That is just so inspirational, and what a great contribution you're making now. So, Michael, I'm sure you probably have things you do for yourself to keep into action and keep all of this wonderful wisdom that you share with us today, that moving into, you know, really productive activities and projects. Can you share with us an exercise or a tip that you use for yourself that we could maybe move us into action on some of the things you've shared with us today?
Well, I can tell you one of my favorite tools, okay? This is a tool that Bonnie and I use, and it really works good for couples who are in business together or for partners, and it's called the Goal Book. And what we do is we get ourselves basically a notebook or one of those daytimer type books that's half the size of an 8.5 by 11, and it's 3-ring, and it's got dividers. And then we label each divider according to various different aspects of our lives and our goals. And one might be your home. Another one might be your business. Another one might be spiritual. Another one might be social. Another one might be travel. Another one might be wealth, which is different than business. And then what you do is at the beginning of every year, you sit down and you look at every one of those titles and you write down what your goal is for the year for that title. You know, maybe like on your house, you say, you know, I want to have a new roof, I want to have a new fence, I want to put in an organic garden this year, whatever. You write down what it is. Maybe for your business, you say, I want to double the size of my business. I want to provide expert customer service and retain all my existing customers and increase business with them. And maybe for wealth, you talk about making good investments or cashing in on a good idea, starting a new business. And maybe for spiritual, what you do is you talk about synergies that can happen or things that that happen seemingly by accident. And you recognize those things when they happen. So that makes more of those things happen. At least it makes you more aware of those things. So I'm not talking about spiritual in a religious standpoint here. I'm talking about in a very human standpoint. And so then every week you sit down with your partner and you go through the book and you write a little date there. You put down today's date and you write down some entry of something that happened that drives you or has driven you in the past week closer to your goal. Maybe you met somebody that week who's connected to somebody else, or maybe an opportunity opened itself up for you, or maybe you were able to trade for something, or maybe you met an organic gardener or whatever. So then the next week, you do the same thing. And then you get into these periods where you're very frustrated and you think, geez, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I don't have anything to post this week under this particular goal. That's the week you read all the previous posts. And what that does is that encourages you and it reminds you that you're moving toward your goal and you don't lose faith. That's the most important thing. So then when you do achieve your goal, you write down achieved on this date, and then you go on to your next goals. At the end of the year, you write a list of all the goals you achieved and you put it at the beginning of next year's goal book. So now you're pumped up. Now you know that you can achieve these goals if you write them down and if you post your progress weekly toward each one of these goals. It's worked for us. It's how we built Barefoot. It's how we wrote the book. It's how we do everything we do. We put it in the goal book. It's an idea first, and then it becomes reality.
Oh, That is so powerful, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you so much for sharing all of the wisdom that you shared with us today. It's just been an incredible time with you. And I'm sure that many of our readers and listeners will want to learn more from you. So could you repeat the websites again where they could access and connect with you?
Yes, they can connect with me at barefootwinefounders.com, just like Barefoot Wine, but we're the founders, so barefootwinefounders.com. And you can go to that site and you'll find little posts about how to do things in business that work for us, and maybe they'll work for you. If you're building a brand, you can go to our brand building website, which is called thebrandauthority.net. It's not .com, it's .net, thebrandauthority.net. And either one of those sites, you will find the book, and you can sign up for the book, which we think you'll find very interesting. And you can also contact us, and you can hire us to be speakers or work with you as consultants and advisors on your board of advisors.
Oh.
We wish you all the best, and we wish you good business and good luck, and let's do something good for the planet.
Fantastic, Michael. Thank you again. And for all of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights and our publishing, broadcast, and showcase opportunities, as well as our communities, you can find us at GetEI.com, that's GETEI.com, and all of our projects and interesting things we're doing is there. So, Michael, again, thank you so much for being here. I've enjoyed our time together immensely.
It was a pleasure, Vicki. Thank you for having me on your show.